Oh, I'm hearing we're on the air over the intercom.
Alright.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Well, I guess we're on the air, folks. This is a great introduction to one of the stories we got to talk about today anyway. But I'll say good morning and welcome back. And this is supposed to be the Drive Time Friday show. We had the usual technical difficulties. I blame Microshaft, as always, and that's a pretty good guess. Anyway, thanks to some help from the station, we finally did get up, and it looks like even though we didn't get the music, we are on. Let me say good morning. I hope David Justice is on, too. How are you doing, David? You copying okay?
I hear you just fine, and I'm on.
All right, very good. Well, this isn't the story I was planning on starting with, but let's start with it anyway, because it's kind of interesting. There was a story that came out this week essentially saying that in the European Union, the United States had censured, I guess is the right word, the International Criminal Court. Well, that's a good thing. The International Criminal Court's full of criminals, and it's an unconstitutional abomination, and rule of law is kind of lost there for the most part. I don't doubt that occasionally they find an acorn. But on the other hand, what happened was after the censure, Microshaft decided they were going to cut off one of the head honchos at the ICC from his email and all of his government accounts and whatever other connections there were. And so as a result, France and Germany and a bunch of other EU nations said, well, what's going on here? The United States is able to shut off our connections to these unconstitutional or anti-American, anti-whatever they are, international organizations. And so they basically had a hissy fit, and I can't blame them. And France decided they were going to remove Windows and all the Microshaft products from 2.5 million government computers. Germany was following suit in different ways. Other European nations are just simply getting rid of all kinds of other American products that use U.S. servers. So Microshaft is gone. Some of the other tools like Word and Zoom has been removed from a lot of these servers. Some of them are beginning to say, okay, we're going to adopt Unix-based systems or Linux-based systems. In other words, it was an international brouhaha, and ironically, not necessarily for the right reasons, but they finally figured it out. Hey, these tools of these corporate entities, they can shut you down, and they can also tap you. Have you ever realized that? And they don't want it. So there you go. Go ahead.
Sounds like I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Yeah,
we got a technocracy running things. We don't have governments on this planet anymore. We have a private monetary system, and we have people appearing to occupy positions of government, but they're not. They're all shills. That's what's going on. And so now the technocracy they're making their bid, in their own little type coup d'etat. If we can have a technocracy and just get rid of all these other people, then we can reduce it down to controlling it all through AI. I don't know. This is the migration. This is the way it goes.
Okay. Well, I guess the bottom line is I would encourage folks, being that, by the way, they removed Teams as well from these servers or from these European computers in a lot of cases. And I wish that we could find ourselves a tool that would work and get away from Microsoft as well. As you know, one of the problems when you are operating on a shoestring, as the network has essentially for as long as it's been around, is it's difficult to go out and provide, because we don't have the donation support, to get really good tools that work all the time, so we have to put up with the likes of Teams, and when they replaced Skype, it did nothing but get worse. So I've never hidden my disdain for Microshaft, and it's a truly awful company. But there's a lot of company that they have when it comes to security connected, deep state connected, Big Brother public private partnership connected stuff, from Gulag to Meta to a whole lot of others. So I guess the bottom line is, for those that are able, and I think the European Union, at least in a few cases, they may have gotten this one right, move to Linux, move to Unix, move to an open source operating system, which has far better support, really, and because it's open source, is far more reliable, and there's a lot more people that can deal with it and know what's going on. Microsoft will tend to essentially hide things, bury things. The back doors are in there. That doesn't mean that they can't try to put them into an open source system, but if you know what open source means, it means that the code is available. Anybody that doesn't trust it can actually check it themselves, and compile it and run it without having to download what's called an image, you know, an operational set of instructions from some source that you don't even know what's in it. And that's really key, and it's getting more important. Now, the problem, of course, with AI, it's going to get worse and worse, and the AI is going to have the ability, because it's smarter than the average programmer, to put in back doors that are going to be impossible to see and then cover their tracks. And, oh, come to think of it, if you recognize what happened with the voting schemes out of Venezuela, Dominion, Smartmatic, and all of those, that's exactly what they did. They uploaded code. The trusted build would then allow back doors. They would overwrite the operating code, come in and change it, do all their evil, dirty work, and then when they were done, they'd rewrite the logs, pretty everything up, and overwrite the bad code with the official code like it looked fine. And as long as you didn't let anybody in and actually get a hold of the hardware, which they didn't, then you couldn't tell how you'd been had. Go ahead. I know you got a comment on that one.
Well, until you bring in Tina Peters, who under a contract with Dominion Voting Systems, she working with the county commissioners had an obligation to be the project manager on that voting system. And so she went in during a quote trusted build, which was really, what you just said. It was when Dominion went in to erase the files so they wouldn't be busted, but she got in there and took her experts in there and actually came up with the smoking gun proof of a before and after that they had tampered with election files.
She got a copy. So in other words, she took a picture of the perp in action. You know, the guy, they were literally, they had the mask on and they were in there monkeying with things, and she got a copy of both the supposed trusted build and then what was really running. And boy, that really upset him, as we know.
So, you know, we strain a gnat and swallow a camel. They indict her on petty things, but they were considered felonies because of how they were twisted. But the big camel, the big elephant in the room, never even got talked about. The judge wouldn't even let that evidence in.
Exactly.
This is the system the way it is now. The elections are rigged. They've been rigged. The only reason the evidence hasn't been presented, which is what the folks that are arguing that there's nothing wrong, nothing to see here. All of the cases have been dismissed out for lack of standing, and so no evidence has been heard because we have an entire election system based upon contract law.
Well, and it's contract law that's done to cover up for fraud. And that's a real problem. It turns out that if you actually look at the common law, the idea is that a law or a contract that's in violation, that's, you know, essentially a contract to commit a crime, is invalid. And, ironically, of course, the crime is the entire system. So they don't care about the law.
Well, and this may be, let's keep an eye out for this, you know, with Tina being out and working with Trump and understanding Venezuela's connection and all of the other intricacies, we actually have a national security issue because the entire election system has been breached. It is breached. It is constantly being breached. It is how things are run. So Trump, that could be the basis upon which he declares a national emergency and sends out the National Guard to protect the upcoming election. It's completely within the realm of reason.
I think it's not only that. I think it's being set up. Let's come back to that and talk about it once we lay out a couple more stories to build the base here, because I will contend that what we're seeing is a setup, that was the intention, that Trump never really intended, or at least maybe figured out that he was never going to be allowed to put in place things like the SAFE Act. You had the scumbag that pretends to run the Senate, John Thune, this week saying, oh, well, the Republicans are going to lose the midterms. Ha ha! He didn't say it, I will. And yeah, and I helped. All right? So you got scumbags like that that are essentially knowing the midterms are going to be overturned. The bottom line is, then, when they send in the troops, people already don't trust the election system. I guarantee you, they're not going to trust it anymore if there's troops there. Some of us may say, well, it's a Hobson's choice, and it's no worse. But on the other hand, it's not going to restore confidence, I guarantee you. Go ahead.
Well, the anti-Trumpers,
they'll raise hell.
Lack confidence will be justified in going to war. I mean, you know, we're looking at, you know, the very real potential of violence on the streets, blood on the streets, because the population that is not buying into the fact that there was election fraud is going to be outraged when federal troops are manned at voting stations under the guise of ensuring a free election. You know, the last time that happened was after the Civil War, when during the Reconstruction, and the South had to come up and register to vote and then step in, and they had to swear that, you know, they were going to be loyal to the
even if the Constitution was a dead letter at that point. Yeah.
Right. So this is what we're looking at. This is a very real scenario that we could be looking at. Well, we're already in a psychological warfare, but we're looking at the very real possibility of how it could become kinetic. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about the other, I would say, big story overnight that ties right into all of this. I don't know if you saw it. I sent it to you in Skype, but you may not have seen it, about Maria Bartiromo from Fox.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. I saw that.
Okay, so the story is, as of yesterday, when I saw it first, Maria Bartiromo's been fired. Did she quit? We don't know. The reason isn't being explained. Fox set out the usual pablum. Oh, we thank her for 12 and a half years of wonderful service. But the bottom line is, they stabbed her in the back, and they took her off her own show for a couple of weeks, it looks like, prior to this. Then you look at some of the leftist rags, like the Daily Mail. They had a four or five different headlines over a couple hours. One of them that I snagged yesterday says, longtime Fox News host Maria Bartiromo accused of leaking internal messages, a violation of that contract thing you were talking about, to the White House before her shocking exit on Thursday. The veteran news anchor is said to have shared with the White House President Trump's July primetime speech about the 2020 election and the reasons why it basically was dissed by the networks, and why Fox and its network bosses sent out guidance telling reporters, don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain and avoid giving any credence to the president's false claims of election rigging. Now, that is the leftist spin. Let me give you the more right-leaning spin, a more correct spin, I would suggest, from the Gateway Pundit. There are no doubt will be others coming out as this begins to flesh out a little bit. But it says, rumblings, Fox News allegedly fired Maria Bartiromo after they nixed her election integrity sentiment and segment, and she's notified the White House about that. So she's gotten herself a good attorney, supposedly. And Maria Bartiromo's out. She was a trusted morning anchor. She's been absent from her slot, notably, for weeks. Now, here's the, I think, a lot closer to the truth story. Turns out she had prepared an analysis of how it was, and we already know this, that Dominion, Smartmatic, and these others have been rigging elections, and what happened in 2020. She was going to pursue a story related to China's involvement and 2020 election voting conspiracies. This, says at least one reporter, a leftist reporter, is a major sensitivity for the Fox network, given that it lost all those hundreds of millions of bucks in the Dominion, Smartmatic, Venezuela cartel, you know, Cartel de las Soles lawsuits. So here's the problem in a nutshell. Fox, which may or may not have wanted to do the right thing, got sued by the criminals that rigged the election and all of their corporate overlords, and of course the crooked judges said, yeah, you go get them, and they made them pay a whole lot of money, and as a result, Fox is gun shy, to put it mildly, or maybe they've been ordered to shut up, or all of the above. And so when Maria Bartiromo wanted to talk about the election rig, first off, they said, well, we're not going to let the president talk about it. And therefore, we're sure as hell not going to let you talk about it. And so she evidently provided some feedback to the White House about what's going on. And the answer, your ass is out of here. We can't have that. So there you go, David.
Well, what they've just done is they've done the same thing they did to Tucker Carlson. And they've just amplified her voice.
She's been tuckered. Yeah.
Tens of millions of people. So now she's all of a sudden going to be free. I guarantee you the first thing that's going to happen, she's going to appear on Tucker Carlson.
I'm thinking the same thing. I'm looking forward to that.
You know, and then they're going to have a real conversation. And then next thing you know, the following week, she's going to have her own talk show. She's going to have her own podcast. And she's going to be welcomed by millions of people that are going to finally, and I, you know what? I've always enjoyed her. I've always known that she had a heart for truth, and I always knew that she was being restrained. I knew that she was, you know, operating within the self-censorship network, where it's just certain things she couldn't say, but now she's going to be able to say them, you know.
And she'll fill in a lot of gaps, too. That'll be really interesting. Yeah. I suspect she's got insider sources that will really be able to lay out and flesh out a lot more than the White House has ever come clean on, even.
What we're really seeing is, by doing this, the Fox News is exposing themselves again. And the best way, you know, light truth is the best disinfectant relative to evil and censorship. So by censoring her, by not letting her talk, or by getting rid of her, they've just validated everything she was saying. So the more they fight against what she's attempting to disclose, the more they reveal themselves as being part of the censorship network that doesn't want us to know the truth. And this is how truth ultimately breaks out. So, no, they've just fanned the flame. And there's no stopping this thing.
I hope not. And by the way, you've heard of the Barbra Streisand effect, right?
Go ahead.
That's what this is often called, is the Barbra Streisand effect. I actually have forgotten the original story. Years ago, Barbra Streisand was all bent out of shape about something about her private life. I don't know if it was her multi-million-dollar mansion or what, but she didn't want it to come out. Nobody really cared. It was a minor story until she had a major hissy fit, wanted to sue everybody, and then, and this is why it's called the Streisand effect, the story became front page news. If she'd have just let it go, nobody would have ever cared or heard about it.
And see, this is why the unseen hand, the global banking system, the private monetary system that is really in control. It's a corrupt criminal syndicate, deep state, call what you will, and the governments of the earth are manipulated by this unseen hand, this banking system, and it's got a shelf life, and we're there. We're at the end of its Ponzi scheme shelf life, but they need the election thing to get one more, just one more. We just get one more election cycle. So, you know, Maria's timing here is horrible for them, but great for us. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. It's just a matter of time.
Well, okay, I agree. Let's talk about some of the specifics here, because, you know, you brought the point up earlier, and I think now that we got all this on the table, there's probably going to be a few more odds and ends that will come out as well. You know, I've talked for a long time about the book that was written about stolen elections and some of the insiders, people that had, intelligence community connections, that had essentially made all of this clear, a couple billionaires that had financed it. We've talked about the names before. But basically, that has, it's achieved traction in the alt-right community. People that are paying attention know. Anybody that had any elementary knowledge of statistics saw the F curve, as it was called, on election night 2020, and since then we've seen it in a number of places, like in Los Angeles. You recognize this statistical impossibility when you see the trend line where all night long, you know, the odds have been 60-40 or 55-45 or whatever the ratio of votes is, with some minor glitches, but the trend, the statistical baseline stays the same. And then all of a sudden, right at the point where the polls close, for example, 2 a.m., bang, 100% of the votes come in for Biden. And anybody looking at that goes, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. That's a blankety-blank and damnable statistical impossibility and therefore a lie. But most people are stupid. That includes people with black robes that call themselves judges. And they'll say, well, there's no evidence. Well, now there's plenty of evidence. Now, here's the thing. This is where I was going to tie this together. The martial law ideal, the idea of an emergency that would essentially supersede the ability of the Supreme Court to even say anything about it. Wouldn't be a court case. It would be president declares a national defense emergency. There is a foreign invasion of the election system. Now, there's plenty of evidence to support that. And it's done. And then they put troops in the polling places, or they steal, or they actually go get machines, and they check them out, and they say, look, this one's been modified. Go to Colorado. I guarantee you'll find a lot of them. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold is probably signing off on them still. So when that happens, things may not be as ugly now. And here's the key, and I'll let you take it away. Because Maria and her timing is perfect, and as this comes out, and it comes out from other than the White House, and it's looking like it's being suppressed, there's going to be a whole new level of credibility here.
Well, with Maria coming out, she's just following her conscience. You know, we're at war. Let everybody get their mind around we're at war, and everybody right now has to choose a side. Maria has obviously chosen a side. Tucker has clearly chosen a side. Candace has chosen a side. And other people, other podcasters out there are definitely showing their true colors too. They're choosing a side. And so the rhetoric, the conversation is being fought. That's where the battle is being fought. And so we're being preoccupied with, doubling down and tripling down on narratives and name calling and all of that. But all of this, we're at the place in history right before a war breaks out. I mean, what an experience to see what the landscape looks like right before a kinetic war breaks out. And I think that that's exactly what we're witnessing. And, as far as how to stop this thing goes, you know, as Charlie Kirk used to say, is as long as we're talking, we're not fighting. But, you know, when they start using censorship to try to cover up the opposition, you know, eventually even that relief valve blows. So there's nothing you can do to stop an idea whose time has come. And I don't think that there's anything that you can do to stop a war when it's at the threshold. And this is how we got there. Go ahead. Did I lose you? Really?
There we go. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you, but now I am. Anyway.
I was done.
All right. Well, maybe we're going to be out of time in 10 seconds, but I'll at least tease this before we get there. A report has come out this week. It was courtesy of the Gateway Pundit earlier on, this was Monday, that Todd Blanche, a guy that I'm still saying the jury is out, I'll give him at least a bit of the benefit of the doubt, maybe this helps, secured Dominion voting machines from the 2020 election that showed proof of foreign involvement. It was in Fulton County, Pennsylvania. We got lots of Fulton County criminals, don't we? Fulton County, Pennsylvania, where officials essentially snagged these Dominion voting machines, and we'll see what they show. We'll talk about that later. We're off the break. All right, folks. We evidently have some real continuing problems at the network. We had the 7-minute commercial at the bottom of the hour, and no music, and I'm still not hearing anything, including the commercials or the music, but I'm assured via other connections that we are actually on. So, David, we'll figure out what's going on. Bottom line again, let me say it. If you have any products made by Microsoft or anything that runs on servers that have backdoors in them, that would include Teams and Gulag machines, and get the heck away from those things. And we're going to have to learn to do that anyway, because the AI is essentially going to come in, and the back doors that are already there will be used for more nefarious purposes. But it's a it's kind of
you, and then it dropped. It's silent now.
Okay, now we're silent. I'm not sure what's going on. So now I'm told we have dead air, but we'll just keep talking anyway. David, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
Just talk, and at least the podcast will be okay, even if it's a bit short. So as we went to break, we were talking about various kinds of crookedness. I'll finish the story that I at least gave the intro to, and that was that Todd Blanche managed to secure some Dominion election machines, election fraud machines. I don't want to call them voting machines. They don't have anything to do with voting. But anyway, they showed proof of foreign involvement, including a connection with Canadian servers. That makes perfect sense because, you know, Canada is a puppet state now of communist China. They got the troops up there. This isn't surprising anybody. But the lawsuit that has now been submitted against Fulton County, well, by Fulton County officials against Dominion voting machines having to do with crookedness in Fulton County. This is one of the few honest places up there, you know, not to be confused with Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. And they're basically naming contract violations, certification issues, connectivity issues. In other words, they're not supposed to connect to these foreign servers, and alleged presence of foreign databases and other scripts on their systems. Kind of stuff that Tina Peters documented. So it's yet more evidence of what we already knew, this time with communist Chinese connections and through a Canadian system. And All right, let's see. Windows Defender, there's a great oxymoron, was basically claiming there were no updates that had been made. And Peter Tichton, who you may know, he was the attorney, or still is, I guess, for Tina Peters as well, said, I alerted Todd Blanche, and he stepped in to make sure that the machines that prove that foreign involvement were secured. All right, so there you go. Any comments, and then we'll continue to talk about some other election fraud that all sets up where we're headed, one way or another.
I got nothing to say other than just being redundant. I would just repeat the same thing. The elections have been stolen. We don't have elections anymore. We have selections. Those are Tina Peters' words. I stand with her. Completely agree. Done enough research to know. And this is the world that's been dealt to us, and we better like it or they're going to just kill us, and that's the way this thing goes.
Okay.
Because that's the, yeah.
Well, let's go on then. Here's another case. I would say this is at least peripherally related. In Missouri, they may have some honest people in the Attorney General's office and a few honest people in Congress and so forth. That's good news. The bad news is they still have plenty of crooks in the Supreme Court, it seems. And on Thursday, the so-called Supreme Court of Missouri, the Black Robe Priests of Satan there, threw out the state's new congressional map that essentially had un-gerrymandered some of the gerrymandering and had gotten rid of one Democrat seat by, unrigging the boundaries. And so, depending upon what perspective, whether you're a communist or somebody who thinks that the districts ought to be just basically laid out without racial preferences, that'll show you which side of this one you come down on. But the Supreme Court threw it out, and they eliminated the new changes and said, we'll see whether voters approve them in 2026. If so, maybe we'll allow it to go into effect in 2028. Now, the irony, of course, is they won't have to because the election rigging will prevent that. But here's the funny part. They did this. They changed the congressional map after the primaries. And so basically you got a bunch of people saying, I don't even know what district I'm in that are running for office. And this is the kind of idiocy that happens when you have a court that's almost as crooked as the people rigging the elections. Or maybe they're the same people.
They're all the same people. Again, we thought we had a government. We were raised believing in the Constitution. At least that's the lip service they gave to it. We thought we could trust politicians and ministers from the pulpit, but it's turned out that they were all lying to us, and now we're suffering the ramifications from a generation or two of people that went along to get along, and this is the result of that. And so, we've inherited a mess here, and we've got to go through it. There's no way around it. It's going to be an interesting life from here on. Go ahead.
Okay, so let's see here. What else we got? Do you have anything else on your list that you want to make sure we talk about? The next one I bring up may end up taking several minutes to go through, at least.
Well, we know that Tyler Robinson was bound over during the preliminary hearing. The judge made a stretch leap that there was enough reasonable cause for the state to bring the charges, so a not guilty plea was entered to all charges. And so now we're in the pre-trial phase of
the pre-rig trial phase of the can you top this?
It's been interesting. One of the most interesting things that's come out is that Utah's hearsay law is not like other states; it's very lenient. And so a lot of the hearsay was admitted that would otherwise be excluded in most states.
I guess if I was gonna kill somebody and blame a patsy, that might make it a good pick. There's probably other reasons.
Well, so Candace is still all over this. There's a groundswell. There's a tsunami of information that is coming against the facts and circumstances, strongly suggesting, if not outright inferring, that Tyler Robinson is a patsy and very much Israeli involvement. So the truth is going to come out on this one. I'm convinced that Candace is setting a standard that using podcasts and using her own sleuth, type of investigation. And enough people are now jumping on board, including Joe Rogan. And so this thing is going to be tried in the public arena. So okay. We're watching history in the making.
Let me just weigh in until I see some actual evidence that convinces me that the ballistics that we all understand of a 30-06 passing through a neck and exiting with a huge hole on the other side and maybe taking the head clean off, that the laws of physics somehow allow for something which didn't look even remotely like a large caliber rifle round fired into the man's neck, not to mention the disappearing and reappearing and a Scotty beam me up rifle and all that kind of BS. I would say reasonable doubt is a gross understatement in this case. But here's where I want to go. This is another place where, guess what? You go to Taxachusetts, which is now the post-birth abortion capital of America. Wait a minute, we probably got more than one of those. Anyway, this is the place where it turns out women can kill their babies, too. Everybody's talking about the Lindsey Clancy case. And this is one of those things that, for a whole lot of reasons, ought to just offend the hell out of anybody with half a brain. I got a piece here that I'm going to mention from Brandon Smith, writing what a lot of us have been thinking, and I've talked about even on the Torah portions of last week. The political weaponization of mentally ill women, okay? What do we see in this case? Woman literally strangles three of her children, all of them pleading for mercy. The older ones trying to escape. She wraps the rubber exercise band around their necks while they're screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, don't kill me!" and does them all. And she made sure to premeditate this by getting her husband out of the way, so he didn't know what was happening until he came home and found the dead bodies. And now she's on trial, and in Massachusetts, you got all these women showing up wearing pink and saying, "We love Lindsay. We want to make sure that we can kill our kids too, because it's all about women's mental health." No, it's not. It's called murder. You lying sons or bitches of Satan. Pardon my bluntness, folks, but this ought to really piss people off. We have gotten to the point where it's not just mental illness that's celebrated in the classrooms. Let's cut the genitalia off little kids. Oh no, let's celebrate moms who kill them and make them heroes and give them huge amounts of money via whatever the GoFundMe accounts are called. It angers me to an incensing level. And now there's new news. We'll get to that in a second, Dave, but I'll let you weigh in up front.
Well, the way in is this, is, you know, when a nation rejects truth, when a nation rejects God, a nation rejects truth. And when truth is rejected, then mental illness is adopted as normal. And so we've moved into, Mount Walsh was really critical in demonstrating that once we adopted that men could be women, and that whole narrative was created. And so now this is the next exit you get off on this highway. And it keeps going. Insanity is being normalized, and sanity is being demonized. And so this is, you know, you look in the scripture and how do we get to a place when the scripture says, you know,
men, women, and children
white
shall rule over them. I read Isaiah chapter 3. It describes this in detail. You can take Isaiah mm-hmm. 3 and literally line it up word for word with the newspapers.
So this is what we're witnessing. We're the generation that is witnessing a lot of scripture that generations that didn't live in a time like this was difficult to comprehend, but we're seeing how it plays out.
Because it's so insane.
Yeah, when psychopathy and so when that becomes enthroned as normal, the entire nation becomes psychopathic and narcissistic, and America becomes a narcissistic whore. I mean, this is the story of ancient Israel. I mean, this is the way a society goes that rejects truth as a basis for reality and rejects sanity and reality in total in lieu of its of a narrative that can be controlled by a handful of people. And then where it ends up is when that handful of people ends up winning, the majority go to an insane asylum where they get re-educated or they get murdered, which is what we saw during the Bolshevik Revolution.
All right. You know, let's go back and fill in the gaps. We've got about 5 minutes. I want to make sure we get the specifics in here. In the so-called jury, and this is part of the irony. We've talked about this part enough. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I want people to be aware. We do not have trial by jury in America, folks. Haven't for years. If you have half a brain, if you know what the Constitution means by trial by jury, and if you know what the common law says, if you've ever read the writings of people like John Adams or anybody else, Thomas Jefferson on jurors and how they can hold a government to the principles of his Constitution, you remember that John Adams said a juror is supposed to judge the facts and the law according to his own conscience. Well, that hadn't happened in the country here for over 100 years. If you know the law, if you have a brain, they are not going to let you anywhere near a jury box. You may go and waste a few hours until they find out that you know better. All you got to do is quote John Adams. You'll be kicked out of that room so fast you won't know what hit you. More importantly, you will, but the other people listening will not figure it out. All right? So, but in Massachusetts, that's not usually a problem because you can pretty well select a whole bunch of people. Most of them are dumber than a post. And in Lindsey Clancy's case, they got a jury of, I think there's 3 men and 9 women, or maybe I got it backwards. But in any case, now there's a holdout. They've been deadlocked for 5 days after hearing all the evidence, and it turns out that there's one juror who is recalcitrant and won't cave in to the madness along with the rest of them. Now, usually, the idea of a unanimous verdict has to do with not convicting somebody of an unconstitutional law. In this case, it's the opposite, ironically. And here's the part that you don't see. I don't see it in the stories on the Daily Mail. This headline, for example, from them says, Lindsey Clancy judge explodes at her lawyer. What do you want me to do? Well, he wants a mistrial. Okay? And they want him to order the holdout juror to vote not guilty and let this woman go and kill some more kids. Well, she didn't have any of her own. She probably never will. But the other story that seems to be kind of slowly emerging via alternative channels is tensions reach a boiling point. Jurors continue to deliberate. One holdout refuses to agree. Here you go. The problem is the holdout juror says Clancy is guilty. And he's going to continue to vote that way. I don't know if it's the he, but I have a strong suspicion. And this because this juror, they say, is ignoring the judge's instructions. Will you accept the law as I give it to you and judge the facts only? That's the oath that these people no doubt took. And here's a juror that seems to think, I'm not going to vote to acquit a murderous woman. He found the evidence that she was a nutcase not sufficient because, after all, the court's full of nutcases. They all want to kill their kids, too. They're wearing pink. So here the gist is this. The court held that this is a case that's being laid out by the Supreme Court, Winthrop, that the due process clause of the 5th and 14th Amendments protect the accused against conviction except upon proof beyond a reasonable doubt of every fact necessary to constitute the crime with which he is charged. And what's the crime in Massachusetts for first-degree murder? I guess the answer is, there's reasonable doubt because everybody in there, except for maybe one or two people, is insane. This is so far over the top, David, you want to just shake your head and go, Massachusetts, let them drop into the ocean.
Well, again, it's part of the breakdown. So you have one juror holding out, voting his conscience, saying, no, she's guilty. And so the judge wants to declare a mistrial and have and try it again. And, okay, so folks, this is what happens when you lose truth as a guiding pole star, as the basis for reality. We're moving into a time when objective relativism, and it's been going on for so long, becomes the standard of reality. And in a private monetary system, those who control the currency get to control, and that's where we are. So really what we're seeing in the courts is a reflection, again, of the monetary system, which is completely debased. Go ahead.
But let me throw out one more irony here, and that is this was truly ironic. Back when we actually had trial by jury, there was no such thing as a deadlocked jury when it came to a capital crime. Or back, if you remember the Dred Scott case that eventually got to the Supreme Court, Fugitive Slave Act cases, Second Amendment cases, the idea was if something is not a crime, and 10 of the jurors are too stupid to know better, but one or two hold out and say, no, I will not vote to convict under this thing which is anti-constitutional, therefore not a law. What was it? It was not called a deadlocked jury. It was not called a mistrial. It was called the guy or woman goes free. All right? You can't find evidence to convict. It's done. You don't get a unanimous verdict. The case swings in terms of the defendant. Now, that's what's so ironic here, David, because in this case, you've got one holdout that knows she's guilty, and the nutcases are running the roost. So, ironically, if we still had trial by jury, sadly, she would have already been released and freed. But of course, they would have never selected these nutcase jurors to begin with. Well, wait a second. No, if it had been randomly chosen. Yeah, you know, the point is, we are, again, so far from anything remotely approaching the system we're supposed to have, you can't even see it from here. Go ahead. We got 2 minutes. Take us out.
A tree is known by its fruit, and this is an example of fruit. What we're watching in this case is fruit. And the root, again, we're not dealing with a constitutional republic. We're dealing with a private monetary system. This always goes back to the money. The people that were opposing the 13th Amendment back in the day, the Federal Reserve Act, when it was passed in 1913 is what I was trying to say. This is what they were arguing that America would become. We're now living in the fruit of having adopted a private monetary system that is manufactured as we go to serve the few.
Well, worse than that, David, it's actually an abomination. That's the word Scripture uses over and over and over again. It's dishonest weights. It's an abomination. And read Deuteronomy chapter 25, the end part, the last 10 verses, basically say it carries a curse. We're seeing the curse. It's that simple.
The curse in this case is a grand delusion. And the Scripture, Yeshua talked about a delusion at this time would be so great that even the very elect could be deceived if that was possible.
Let me add one more thing in the last few seconds, if I may, because we've talked about some of this before, but I want to make sure we point out one other thing about this specific case that I think is the good news in here as we go to break, and that is the judge is on shaky ground, everybody's noting. He basically gave these jury instructions, and they're false. And basically what he did was he denied what we were just talking about. The jury does have the ability to say, the hell with your instructions, judge. I will either convict or not convict based on my understanding of the law. So the judge says, I want to remind you, and he said this to the jury, as I instructed you early, it is your duty as jurors to accept the law as I give it to you. Unquote. Bull, you know what. That is a bald-faced lie. This guy ought to be strung up. If I was in the town, I might be looking to say, hey, can we go get some feathers and tar? But the point is, this is what passes for judges, and that's part of what you've been saying. The whole system is corrupt, but at least what's being done now is the insanity is being exposed, and so is the corruption and the illegality. Maybe people will start looking at this, and that's the good news, David. Hey, and with that, thanks, folks. Shabbat shalom.